This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. Today, I am joined by my friend and fellow football historian, Dave DiPaolo. And since it is playoff time in the NFL, we're going to discuss two playoff games from long past, one from 1971 and the other from 1972. So we will begin with what I think was perhaps the best football game, may have been the best football game I've ever seen in my life. And that would be the 1971 AFC Divisional Playoff Game, which was between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Miami Dolphins. To this day, it is still the longest NFL game ever played. The game was played on Christmas Day, first time in NFL history that they had NFL football games on Christmas Day. The earlier game, as you'll recall, Dave, was the Cowboys versus the Vikings, was the 1 o'clock game. And I was not too thrilled that they were having the game on Christmas because our family did a lot of visiting on Christmas, a lot of driving around visiting grandparents and relatives and friends. So I didn't get to see a lot of that Cowboys and Vikings game. I saw some of it, but I didn't get to see the whole game, and I was a little upset about that as a nine-year-old kid, that I was really looking forward to seeing that game, and they had it on Christmas. But then the second game, the one we're going to discuss, we were done with Christmas dinner and most of the visiting. We went to our neighbors across the street, who live right across the street from us. We went to our neighbors to visit them for Christmas. But the father of that house, he was a big football fan. So he made sure that that game was on. And we watched that game in his den, the Chiefs and the Dolphins. And I remember being very torn about who to root for, because the Chiefs were actually my favorite AFC team. I liked a lot of the players on that team. So they were my favorite AFC team. So I was kind of rooting for them. But on the other hand, out of the four AFC teams that were in the playoffs, the one team that I was worried about, if the Cowboys had made it to the Super Bowl, which they did, the one team I really didn't want them to play was the Chiefs, because I thought the Chiefs might be able to beat Dallas. So
they had a great team, the Chiefs, Mark. They were ahead of their time kind of a little. They had a great defense.
Terrific.
Filled with star players, you know.
That's right. And the TV broadcast for this game wasn't saved, like a lot of games at that time. If you go on YouTube, which you and I often do to try to watch an old game, it's very hard to get games from the 1960s. It's hard to get a complete game, and the early 70s. It's still difficult. You can find some, but there aren't a lot. They really, networks didn't really save these games. They taped over them. And I remember hearing someone that used to work for one of the networks saying, you know, we just never thought, they asked him, why wouldn't you save these games? And he said, we never thought 40 or 50 years from now that people were going to be interested in watching these games. So we just taped over them. Well, also he said, you know, the film was expensive, so they didn't want to have to go out and keep buying. So they would just tape over the game. But they do have that. kind of like a documentary that you were mentioning before we started recording. They had that documentary, which you can find on YouTube, where they talked to a lot of the players who played in that game. And it's a very, very documentary.
Yeah. Funny, Mark, you mentioned watching the game in the guy's den. You know, you were visiting. That earlier Cowboy game, I went over to my friend's house, and his father was not into sports at all. He was a used car salesman.
Right.
He was a businessman. He was buying a lot of commercial real estate at that time. We were kids, but, I knew that they kind of had money, a lot more money than we had. But so we went downstairs, and nobody was watching TV. We put it on, and, we had our whole thing that, uninterrupted. What was the final score of that Cowboy game? You remember it?
20-12.
Yeah. It was, who was Lee? Who was quarterback in the Vikings?
It was Bob Lee, I believe.
It was Lee, yeah. Staubach, the field was kind of muddy that day, I remember. But it wasn't bitterly cold, really.
No.
I don't think.
No.
But, and I watched that Chief game too, afterwards. Like you said, still the longest game. What is it, 3 hours and how many minutes or something?
Let's see. I have it written down here somewhere. 82. I think it was about 82 and a half minutes.
Yeah.
It went into the fifth. They were about halfway into the fifth quarter before the game finally ended. And that game was played, that was the last game played at Municipal Stadium.
Yes, for the Chiefs.
The Chiefs. And the Kansas City Royals also played at that stadium.
Yeah. The Colts had a Municipal Stadium. The Browns had a Municipal Stadium. They had the same name, right?
Yeah. They just called it the Municipal Stadium. And they had a guy, about that, that guy, they called him War Paint.
Yeah.
They called the guy War Paint. Now, this was before political correctness. So this guy would dress up as a chief, an Indian chief.
Yeah.
And he would ride around on this white, every time the chief scored, he rode around on this white horse. He could ride around the stadium.
And he looked great, too. There's a clip of him. You could see it on that thing. Right.
Yeah,
and he looked. He'd probably get arrested today, but he was tremendous. The guy,
he was part of the entertainment. Every time the Chiefs scored, he'd get on that white horse and ride around the stadium, and the fans would all cheer for him.
Yeah, no, it was. Look, think about this. This is even more staggering. I was thinking about that. They started playing in Arrowhead the following year. Right. They're still playing in Arrowhead. It's unheard of.
Wow.
And today's society where they want to keep building stadiums so they can keep hosing everybody. We're going to give you the best of this and the best of that. Well, it's the ticket prices, cost more than buying a house.
Right.
They still are playing. They just played the other night there. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
And I went to that. I was there. I went to Arrowhead once.
Yeah.
And it's on the top of this big hill, and it's just the stadium, the parking lot, and the Royal State. Like, when people see the view of it, you could see all these lights in the background, but that's down below.
Right.
Like, there's nothing in that parking lot area. There's no restaurant. I was there maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Unless they've done it since then, two stadiums and a massive parking lot. That's it.
Wow. That's impressive.
Arrowhead, you don't realize really what these places look like until you actually go and see them in person. I think I've been to almost every professional stadium. Maybe there's three or four that I haven't, but it's just you have like a visual of it before you get there, and then when you see it, it's like, this is nothing like I thought, or oh yeah, I kind of thought it was like this, but that was nothing like I thought it was going to be.
Wow, that's amazing that it's still they still play there. So before we get into the game itself, I'll just go over a little bit of the history. This is only the Miami Dolphins' sixth season. I don't know. A lot of people might not realize that this is only their sixth season in the league. And the year prior, which was only their fifth season in the league, they went to the playoffs. That was unheard of for an expansion team to have that kind of success so early. Their first 4 years, they were lousy, like most expansion teams. But then Don Shula came over from the Colts to become the Dolphins head coach, and you got to give him credit. He immediately, his first season there, they were in the playoffs.
And they had a lot of great players too. I mean, we trusted that the Chiefs had some great players, but they weren't well known. A lot of these guys for the Dolphins, they really weren't. They were. Right. I mean, they had Paul Warfield was a great receiver. He's made his name with the Browns, but a lot of these other guys that they had, some other, you know, Mandich and Twilly, some of these other guys, they were not well known. Even the defense eventually became the no-name defense, actually, right?
That's right. And the Chiefs, on the other hand, were probably the most successful AFL team. They won 3 AFL championships. And that was the most. The 10-year existence of the AFL, the Chiefs won the most AFL championships. Their first one, of course, they were still the Dallas Texans. That was in 1962. They won their championship. Then they won again, AFL championship, 1966, went to the Super Bowl, lost to the Packers. Then they won the AFL championship again, 1969, and then beat the Vikings in Super Bowl IV. So the Chiefs had obviously had quite a bit of success. And that 1971 Chiefs team had 11 Pro Bowlers on it.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a lot. That showed you how many great players they had.
I mean, it was they had a tremendous defense. Hank Stram was very good offensively too. He was a very good coach. He was ahead of his time.
Tremendous coach, outstanding coach. Now, the interesting thing too about that game was it was an unusually warm day.
49 degrees, I think they said it was.
Yeah, there's quite a few different. They said it was 60 in that documentary. I don't think it was. Maybe earlier in the day they said 63 degrees, but
I checked it out on Pro Football Reference. It was very good, and I think they said game time. You know, it gives the type of field that they played on, grass or whatever. Yes. I think it said 49 degrees, I thought.
Well, regardless, it was warm. It was unusually warm for that time of year.
Yeah.
So we'll get into the game. The first possession, Kansas City gets into field goal range and takes a 3-0 lead. And they mostly said in the documentary that most of the plays they ran on that drive were running plays. They were having success running the ball against the Dolphins. That first possession, they didn't do a whole lot of passing. They mostly ran the ball, got into field goal range, and took a 3-0 lead. And you can't even find, since there's no coverage, I mean, there's no complete game. You know, sometimes you can go on Pro Football Reference, who you just mentioned. You can find play-by-play. You can find the play-by-play, but I couldn't even find that. Then the Chiefs got another touchdown. So in the first quarter, the Chiefs are up 10-0, and they're really pretty much dominated the first quarter. It looked like it might be a rout. The Chiefs pretty much were dominating. And Miami, who was known for their running game, was not having success running the ball. They were not having success running the ball. And Bob Greasy, the Dolphins quarterback, had an injury to his shoulder. It was not his throwing shoulder. It was non-throwing shoulder. But he said in that documentary that it was still bothering him a lot. And you could see that in the, NFL Films did have some coverage of the game. And you could see in some of the highlight clips that they showed that every time he got hit, you could see he was in pain. So yeah. It did not look good for the Dolphins at all in the beginning. They couldn't run the ball, and they weren't sure how good Greasy was going to be able to play because he was injured.
But the running game picked up a little, Mark. Well, don't forget, they played five quarters, well, four and a half. I'm sorry. They went into the almost six.
Yeah, almost.
So, but I think between Zonka and Kick, they had about 140-some-odd yards between the two of them.
Right.
Which, I mean, like I said, though, that's an extra quarter and a half.
Right.
But, you know, I think they scored one TD each, Mark. I'm not sure. But right.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But you know, people wouldn't know, though. Like you mentioned, they started out running the ball, the Chiefs.
Right.
And that was, you know what? That was common back then. You didn't have all this passing. If a guy passed for over 200 yards, that was pretty good. No, it was actually very, very good. Now today, if he doesn't pass for 300, it's complete garbage. But over 200 was good back then.
That's right. But the Dolphins did have a weapon. You mentioned them. That was Paul Warfield, who came over from the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
And the Dolphins finally had a good possession where Greasy was hitting Warfield a lot on that possession, and they got a touchdown and made the score 10-7. So they're back in the game now, 10-7. And now here's a really, really interesting part that I didn't know anything about until I watched this documentary. That was the field goal that was supposed to be a fake field goal. I found this really, really interesting because I'd never heard of this before. And it goes to show you how many things can happen in a football game that you wouldn't know anything about. Today you would probably know about it because, you know, 24-hour coverage and players are being interviewed all the time. But back then, you know, you didn't have all that. So this was really interesting. Hank Stram talked to the kicker, Jan Stenerud, and said, listen, we're gonna run a fake here. Bobby Bell was the long snapper, linebacker, Bobby Bell. He was the snapper. Now, Hank Stram told Jan Stenerud, just pretend like you're going to kick a field goal. Don't look at Bobby Bell. Otherwise, you're going to give it away. So that's what Stenerud did. But I don't know what happened. You know, they didn't really go into detail. Bobby Bell may have not gotten that same message because he noticed that Stenerud was not looking at him.
I'm going to send you a clip, Mark, where he talks about it, you know. Bobby Bell talks about this.
Yes.
And he says he wasn't looking at me.
Yeah, he wasn't looking at me. And he got worried that if he's not looking at me and I snap the ball to him, the ball's going to go right past him. So he snapped the ball to Len Dawson, who was the holder.
Yeah.
And then, so now Jan Stenerud's not prepared. He thinks the ball's coming to him. All of a sudden, the ball snapped to Dawson, and Dawson turns around. He's looking at Stenerud. Stenerud's looking at him, and they're like, oh, what do we do now? So Dawson said, well, kick it. We don't have much choice now. You got to kick it.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't prepared to kick it, he missed the field goal.
Yeah, that wasn't his only miss, was it?
Oh, no. He had a bad game, and we'll get into that. But, it was supposed to – the ball was supposed to be snapped to Stenerud, and then there was supposed to be two pulling guards. They were going to run a sweep. Two pulling guards were going to come out, and all Stenerud had to do was follow the two pulling guards. and it got all screwed up. And Len Dawson asked Bobby Bell – why didn't you snap it to Stenerud like you were supposed to? And he said, because he wasn't looking at me, and I was worried that, you know, he wasn't gonna be ready to take the ball. So you have to wonder, you know, what would have happened if they had and they could have possibly taken a 17-7 lead. But it didn't happen. The play got all screwed up.
Even 13-7 with the field goal, if he made it.
Yeah.
You know?
But, you know, I got to give Stenerud a lot of credit, because he never tried to blame anyone else. He didn't try to blame Bobby Bell. He said, I still should have been able to make the field goal, even though I wasn't prepared, because I thought it was going to be a fake. He said, I still should have been able to make it. So now we get to the end of the half. We're near the end of the second quarter, and Kansas City's just trying to run the clock out. And this was a key play in the game, too, because Ed Podolak fumbled the ball. He got hit by an unknown player from the Dolphins. It was defensive end Frank Cornish, his name was. He put a good hit on Ed Podolak and caused him to fumble the ball. When all they were trying to do was run out the clock, so now Miami has... They're in field goal range, and they tie up the game 10-10. And that was a huge momentum swing. Nick Bonacani talked about that. And the good thing about that documentary is it was in 2011, and most of these guys were still alive at the time.
So, yep.
Yep.
Ed Podolak, since you mentioned him, he had a huge game that day. Kind of a relatively unknown guy.
Unbelievable.
I mean, he wasn't, you know, he was good, but he was not.
No super.
He never before or since ever had an effort like this. This was unbelievable. He was returning kicks on top of it all, by the way.
Yeah.
People don't even know. It was the starting running back, and he returned three kicks for 154 yards, I think, or some crazy amount like that. Yes.
He still holds the record for all-purpose yards. He had 350 all-purpose yards in that game.
Yeah, imagine that.
He was just an average player. He was not a Pro Bowler or anything like that. So
yeah, he had 8 receptions, I think, Mark, out of the backfield. You know, in addition to the rushing yardage, but it was they used to call it the Ed Podolak game.
That's right. It's often known as the Ed Podolak game. So that's the end of the half. Now it's 10-10. And so Kansas City gets the opening kickoff, I think, in the third quarter. They have a tremendous drive. Used up almost 10 minutes of the clock. And... 15 plays, they went 75 yards, touchdown, 17-10. Tremendous drive by the Chiefs. So that kind of took the momentum that the Dolphins did have when they tied it up. Now, this is what makes great games like this. The momentum just keeps swinging back and forth, back and forth. Now, Miami gets the ball. And Bob Greasy did a masterful job on this drive, because of his injury, he wasn't really, even though it wasn't his throwing arm, he was hurt. You could see it. He was in pain, so he wasn't really able to throw long passes. And he did a masterful job on this drive of throwing short passes, and the Dolphins got a touchdown. Now it's 17-17. Now we go into the fourth quarter, and the Dolphins were deep into Kansas City territory, and this could have been their, they could have taking their first lead of the game. They looked like they were driving for a touchdown, but Greasy threw an interception. Jim Lynch, the one of the outside linebackers for the Chiefs, intercepted Bob Greasy pass. Now, there was a linebacking core for you, right? You got Willie Lanier in the middle, Bobby Bell, and
tremendous
Jim Lynch.
You know, two of them are. I don't think Limp. The two of those three are in the Hall of Fame.
That's right. Two of them are in the Hall of Fame, and Jim Lynch was no slouch either.
No.
And you know, people talk about the some of the great linebacking crews, like you know, they'll talk about the Steelers. They had Lambert and Jack Ham and Andy Russell. But I think this was this linebacking crew the Chiefs had was every bit as good as that.
Yeah, and great defensive linemen, and great defensive linemen in front of those linebackers they had. You know, they had a great line.
Yeah, Buck Buchanan, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yep,
Curly
Colt, he was still there, right?
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Now, Kansas City gets the ball, and they have another tremendous drive. 91 yards they drove. And the big play in that drive was a 63-yard pass reception from Dawson to Elmo Wright.
Yeah.
It was a huge play right there. 63 yards.
Yeah.
So they
he might have been the first. He was one of the first guys to do a little dance in the end zone, Elmo Wright, you know.
That's right. That was very uncommon.
He used to lift up his, you know, he'd hold the ball up and lift up his legs. And I think he might have been the first guy actually to do that, I think.
He probably was.
And that was He had three catches for 104 yards that game, by the way.
He had a huge game. He had a huge game, yeah. So now what? It's 24-17. And the Dolphins tie the game with a 71-yard drive. And now we're back to a tie game. The momentum just keeps going back and forth. 24-24. Now there's only a minute and 25 left on the clock. And the Dolphins kick the ball off. And who gets the ball? Ed Polak. He goes 78 yards on the kickoff return. 78-yard kickoff return puts them into field goal range. 32 seconds left on the clock. 31-yard field goal. Jan Stenerud, the best kicker in the game, missed the field goal. Missed the field goal.
Imagine that.
49 out of 50 times he makes that field goal.
He's the first kicker in the Hall of Fame, I think, ever, right?
Right. First kicker in the Hall of Fame.
He was a ski jumper, I think. He was a skier from Norway. He was something to do with skiing.
He was a ski jumper, yeah. I don't think he really even knew a heck of a lot about football. I don't think he really knew football. He said he still can't, to this day, he still has no idea how he missed that field goal.
Imagine that.
Yeah. So now, here's another really interesting part that I didn't know about. After that missed field goal, now there's still time, there's still some time on the clock. There's still probably about 30 seconds left. So now, the Dolphins take over. Now, at that time, the rule was on a missed field goal, you got the ball at the 20, right?
Yeah.
That was the rule at the time.
Yeah. Or you could run them out. You know, if they were long, they'd put a guy down there to catch it.
Right.
If a guy missed, it was short, you know. But back then, people don't remember They weren't booming these 55 and 60 yard. Back then, a 48 or 49, that was huge.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So now the Dolphins have the ball with about 30 seconds left. And I would really like to know, they didn't really say too much about it. Like, what happened in that 30 seconds? I imagine, the only thing I could imagine is that the Chiefs still had all their timeouts left. I imagine the Dolphins were just trying to run out the clock and go into overtime, because I don't think Don Shula is going to take a risk of trying to pass there deep into their own territory. I don't think he's trying to pass the ball.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that they probably just trying to run out the clock, but the Chiefs must have had all their timeouts left, because the Dolphins, Dolphins ended up punting. And I was trying to figure out, because they really didn't talk about too much, you know, what exactly happened in those 30 seconds. So I suppose you just have to guess that the Chiefs must have had all their timeouts, because the Dolphins had a punt. And they did get NFL Films did get footage of that punt. It didn't really look like the Chiefs tried to block it, which is kind of surprising. There was only like 5 seconds left. You think the Chiefs would have tried to block that punt?
Yeah, you don't know. You know, Mark, maybe especially like you, there's not much like you're saying. Other than these interviews, what else do you have to go on? You know, you got some guys will talk about it, and they're going to talk about the big, but they won't talk about the small nuances of the game sometimes. You know what I mean?
Right. You don't really hear about it. Now the Chiefs get the ball, and maybe they did try to block it, but the Dolphins did a good job of keeping them out of there, you know. So the Chiefs get the ball with 5 seconds left. And you watch the documentary, so, you know, they show on the sidelines, they actually show the conversation on the sidelines. Hank Stram considered putting Jan Stenerud in to try a 68-yard field goal. 68-yard. And you could, they show them having the discussion on the sidelines.
Right.
And this is, go ahead.
People don't get it. I mean, they think that, you know, today it's actually, listen, they claim that the kicker for the Cowboys could possibly hit from 70. They're claiming this guy they got this year who only missed, I think, one field goal all year. He missed an extra point or a couple, but the field goals, he was 100% over 50 this year. 100%. He kicked a 60-yarder, and with plenty of room, they said it would have went from 70-yard. But back then, it was unheard of. We just said 47, 48, those were big. Yeah. The guy's going to try a 68-yarder.
Yep. But Stram reconsidered and said, no, forget it. We're not going to try that. We'll just go into overtime. Now here's another interesting part. Miami kicks off to start the fifth quarter. Miami kicks off, and they're trying to keep the ball away from Ed Podolak. So Gary Yipremian, the Dolphins kicker, kicks a line drive, and it goes to Buck Buchanan. Defensive lineman, Buck Buchanan.
Yep.
And he did an outstanding job. I got to give Buck Buchanan credit, because usually when a kick goes to a lineman like that, they kind of panic and just they don't know what to do, right?
Yeah.
But he was very calm. He just very calmly turned around. He caught the ball, very calmly turned around, and lateraled it to Ed Podolak. So their plan didn't work. Ed Podolak still wound up with the ball. And he had another great return. He took the ball to the 46-yard line. Another great return.
You know what's amazing, Mark? Not just the Chiefs, but a lot of teams. But they had these star players on these kickoff and punt teams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like think about it. Buck Buchanan, he's on the kickoff receiving team. It's unbelievable.
That's right. But the rosters were a lot smaller, right? They probably only had like a 40-man roster.
Yeah, you know, to compare it to today, what is it, 53, I think, and that's what it was. And they had, you know, even the Cowboys did it through the 70s. Look at Randy White was on the field goal team, punt, in that kickoff he handled in the Super Bowl. He had the broken thumb. But, yes, that was – people don't realize that. That was a big thing. The guys that watched it, my buddies say it. They say to me, what's this guy doing out here? That's the way it was back then.
Yeah. You didn't have as many players on the roster, so they kind of had to be out there.
Yeah.
So now Kansas City has the ball at the 46. They get into field goal range, a 42-yard field goal attempt. And this time it's blocked. Miami blocks the kick.
Yeah. That's tremendous.
Yeah. So now Miami gets the ball. They try a 52-yard attempt, which fell way short. And like you said, the kickers today, much stronger legs. That's not really uncommon for a kicker today to kick a 52-yard field goal.
Nope.
But back then, that was really long field goals. So they missed the field goal. Now the defenses start to play better. The two teams exchange punts. And now Miami has the ball. And finally, Larry Zonka breaks off a big run. And they had done a really good job of containing Zonka, who was their top back, of course. The Chiefs had really done a good job of containing him all game. But he finally broke off a big run, a 29-yard run. And that put Miami back into field goal range. 37-yard field goal, and you premium made it. Dolphins win the game 27-24. What a game.
Willie Lanier, he talks. I don't know if there was an interview with him. I'll send it to you. I found it. Says it was the greatest game he ever played. He himself personally.
Right.
Said it was the best game he ever played himself.
Yeah.
And not that he was involved in, that he actually is critiquing his own performance, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what he said. He said it was the best game I ever played, which is saying a lot for him. He was great.
Oh, yeah. Now, here's a funny part. This is another example of how different things were back then. The Dolphins get back to the airport in Miami.
Yeah.
Don Shula has to hitchhike a ride. His car wouldn't start. His car wouldn't start, and he said everyone else had already left. So he was there all by himself, and his
car no cell phone to call somebody, right?
No, he's hitchhiking.
Don Shula, unbelievable,
is hitchhiking.
I never heard that one.
Yeah. So the game was 82 minutes and 40 seconds left.
Unbelievable.
2:40 was the time. Still the longest game ever played. And Jan Stenerud, to this day, is still upset about missing that field goal.
Imagine that.
He put the blame on himself. He said, we lost the game because of me. He's still upset about it.
I looked at the quarterbacks. I was looking at some of the stats, Mark, and very, very similar stats, Greasy and Dawson, very close.
That's right.
You know, their percentage, like Greasy had 15 incompletions, but Dawson only had 9, but the amount of attempts were kind of similar, 35 attempts for Greasy, 26 for Dawson. He was 18 out of 26. Greasy was 20 for 35. But then 263 for the yardage for Greasy and 246 for Dawson. And both had one touchdown and two interceptions.
Yeah.
Both guys.
Dawson's passer rating was 80. Dawson had a very good game.
Yeah.
I mean, Greasy had a good game too, especially considering he was injured. But he threw the ball 35 times.
That was a lot back then.
Especially for Miami, which was a running team. They were a predominantly running team at that
time. Yes.
So for him to throw the ball 35 times, that was a lot. Even though the game went for almost six quarters, that was still a lot for back then. Yeah, there's some good, some really amazing statistics in this game.
What gets overlooked sometimes, Mark, is you don't hear about Wendell Hayes.
Oh,
Wendell. At 22 rushes for 100 yards.
I looked that up, and I you never really hear about, you don't really even hear him mentioned.
No, you don't.
That was a huge game. 22 carries for 100 yards. Yep.
Yes. He got overshadowed by Ed Podolak, kind of, I guess. But, I mean, it was still a great game. And, you looked at Greasy's. You looked at the receivers for Miami. I mean, Warfield had 7 for 140. And the other two guys combined, their other two main guys, Twilley and Fleming, they had a total between the two of them of 9 receptions.
Right.
You know, for about 90 yards, actually, somewhere around there. And one TD for Fleming, but Warfield had the you know, good chunk of them.
Warfield was amazing in that game, as he usually was. He was one of the best receivers to ever play the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, and on the other side, their Hall of Famer, the Chiefs had a Hall of Famer. Otis Taylor only had 3 catches for 12 yards.
Shut him out. They shut
3 for 12, yeah.
But as a result, they couldn't shut down Elmo Wright.
No, exactly.
On the right had, what, 104 yards?
Imagine that.
Ed Podolak, unbelievable. He had 8 receptions for 110 yards.
Yep.
He had 17 carries for 85 yards.
Yep. 2 touchdowns.
He had 2 touchdowns. He had 154 yards of kickoff return yardage, 350 all-purpose yards. That was in 1971, and no one's beat it yet. That's
no. I wonder what that would get in the fantasy leagues today. I mean, I play fantasy.
Unbelievable.
You know, when a guy gets upwards of 250 yards, it's astronomical for the points that you get, but this was another 100 yards over that.
Unbelievable. And like we say, he was just an average player. He was a good player, but he was nothing, you know, he wasn't a Pro Bowler or anything like that. Nick Bonacani had 20 tackles in that game.
Yeah. Yep.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Landry used to talk about him, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dwayne Thomas was saying, what's going on with this guy? That's all we hear about, Nick Bonacani, you know.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, he was that they ended up meeting in the Super Bowl that year, the Cowboys and the Dolphins.
That's right.
And they that was one of the main things they did was to get Bonacani off balance. They would try to go one way, and they would cut back against the grain with the running game.
Yeah.
The Cowboys had a lot of yard. I think they had 250-something rushing yards. That it was a record back then, that but time. Something close to that anyways. And Nick Bonacani got tricked the whole day.
Yeah. Yep.
They got him out of position, should I say.
Yeah, they really had him confused in that game. Misdirection, like you said. Larry Zonka in this game, they held him pretty good other than that one big run. He had 24 carries for 86 yards. He claims to have lost 18 pounds in that game.
Really?
Weighed himself after the game, and he couldn't figure out during the game. He said he his pants were loose. He had to keep pulling up his pants.
Really?
Yeah. He weighed himself after the game, and he said he lost 18 pounds.
That's amazing.
Kansas City had 213 yards rushing. The total yards, Kansas City had 451 total yards. Miami had 407.
That's unheard of back then.
Yeah. Unheard of. That's right.
See, today you'd say that's good. That's pretty impressive. That back then, unheard of.
Yeah. K Kansas City had 4 turnovers, the 2 interceptions and 2 fumbles, but they were very costly. The turnovers were very costly. very memorable. You know, I'll never forget that game. Like I said, possibly the best football game I've ever seen.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that having that kind of lasting impression on somebody, because I remember watching the game myself and saying to myself, geez, when there was a game later on, years later in the 80s, that was going long like that. I think it was the Chargers.
Chargers and Dolphins, yeah.
When I watched that game, it brought me back to that Chief game.
Right.
When I was watching that game.
Yep. Okay, now you're going to take over and you're going to do the 1972 NFC Divisional Playoff.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.